Good morning, y'all. If you were looking at your bulletin and looking for insight as to where we would be today, you will see that I had absolutely no idea whatsoever when I submitted my notes for the bulletin this week. I sat there and was struggling because I had a sermon on this head, part of my head. I had a sermon on this side of my head. And here we are Sunday morning, and God has given me something totally different. This is where we're going to be. I'm going to ask that you please open up your Bibles to the book of James, and we'll be looking in chapter 2. The book of James, if you're looking for a reference, it is in the back of your Bible, and it is back to the epistles, the letters, just before the book of Revelation. So that's about as much of a clue as I'm going to give you. On that note, I sat there and was reminded this morning that my wife, Liv Marie has turned into Brenda number 4. And I knew this. And one thing I've always chuckled with Brenda is she's never been able to give clues worth anything. You know, hey, do you want a clue for what you got for Christmas? Sure. You know, the clue has been, well, it's smaller than a bread basket, you know, bigger than this. And, you know, well, anyway, as you guys know, I'm working on my Avante. Because I couldn't find a javelin that was worth anything and worth saving. Anyway, I'm working on this Avante, and Becca, or Liv, decided she wanted pink in that car somewhere because it's a wash in a sea of blue. So as I made comment that I was going to redo my seat, she goes, yeah, we put pink stripes in here. And I'm going, yeah, there ain't going to be no pink stripes in my blue leather. So anyway, I decided to buy hot pink seat belts for the back seat. And only because they're retractable and you're only going to see one, you know, two belts sticking out at any given time. Anyway, so Brenda's on the way, we're on the way to church, and Brenda goes, Liv, Pop-Pop has got a surprise for you. And she goes, okay, what is it? And she goes, well, here are your clues. One, it'll always be at the house. And I'm just looking at Brenda, huh? She goes, two, it's the first thing that you do when you get into a vehicle. Three, it'll be there unless you're in it. And so Liv decides at 7 years of age that Pop-Pop has decided that she has bought her a brand new car. And I'm sitting there going, how the heck did you get that? And she sat there and she goes, no, sweetheart, Pop-Pop didn't buy you a new car. He got the pink stripes for my seat, didn't he? And I'm going, how the heck did she get that? And she goes, no, Pop-Pop didn't get pink leather stripes in the seats for your back seat. And she sat there, she goes, but she did get you seat belts that are pink. But I'm sitting there listening to this conversation. It's like, there's only one way that that girl could get those clues, and that's only if she is, in fact, the reincarnation of that same woman. And oh my gosh, I've got 4 Brenda Roberts. But anyway, okay, now you've had the opportunity to make your way to the book of James. We'll be looking at chapter 2. And I have titled my sermon this morning, pointedly, Baptism is not the last step. Baptism is not the last step. If you're able, I'm going to ask you to please stand as we open up our Bibles to James chapter 2, which you've already had the opportunity to do. But let's sit there and read together God's word, starting in verse 14. And it reads, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Here, let me read that again. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified works by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you, my Lord, for this day. And Lord, again, the opportunity to gather in worship of you. Thanking you again so very much, Lord, for allowing us to lay witness to one who is called out to you. And Lord, taking that next step in baptism. Thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have provided and blessed us with to be able to join together as a family in worship of you, acknowledging our need for you for everything. And Lord, just thanking you, Lord, for everything it is that you have done over the course of the last week, over the course of our lives. Lord, just singing your praises. And Lord, the fact that you have counted us who are truly unworthy as being worthy. Lord, thanking you for your word and this opportunity, Lord, to hear that word. And praying that, Lord, we'll take that word and we'll apply it to our lives, gain strength from it, and walk closer with you. Lord, asking, please, that you'll continue to lead us and guide us, and that everything we say and do will, Lord, bring you the honor and glory. We again thank you for this opportunity. It's in your Son's name we pray these things. Amen. Y'all may be seated, please. Baptism is not the last step. It is the first step, yes. Much is put on baptism. And please don't misunderstand that I am not here to sit there and speak ill about baptism. But man has taken baptism to be and turned it into something that it is truly not. Baptism came from the ritual under the Jewish treating or teachings of cleansing oneself. And what would happen is a good practicing Jew would enter into a mikvah, which would be a tub, a pool, and they would lower themselves down in this pool three times as a part of being ceremonial cleansed or a ceremonial cleansing. It was not to wash them away or wash any sin away. It was just part of that ceremony which Judaism had turned into, a following of the rules, per se. And man has taken baptism and turned it into, oh, so much more. They'll sit there and the Catholic Church will sit there and try to tell you that it's not by baptism that provides salvation and absolution of all sin. But the funny thing is they'll speak that with this mouth. Meanwhile, all their doctrine over here and their doctrine mouth will sit there and tell you, well, it washes away all the sin except for the sins that follow. Therefore, that's why you have to go repent from the Father, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they do teach it is a form of washing away of sins. And they're not the only one that does this, mind you. There are many other denominations and interdenominations that teach and practice this very same thing. Keith, brother, I love you. I love your dedication. I felt the cold between, you know, on the inside of my dry hip waders. I mean, it was cold. And if you would have said, no, we're going to do this again later, I would not have had any arguments with you whatsoever. But to be honest with you, the very fact that you entered that water, if you did not have a personal relationship with Christ, all it would have accomplished was getting you cold and wet. That's it. That's all it was going to do. In fact, that's all it does do. Step back a little bit, okay? Baptism is very important. Christ himself was baptized. But here's the argument against many of man's theologies with baptism. That it washes your way of sin, washes away your sins. Well, the Christ was perfect. He was God in human flesh. He knew no sin. So please tell me what sin needed to be washed away. What sin could be washed away. The Christ did not have any sin upon him until he was placed upon the cross. And then the sin that he had upon him was not his sin, but it was yours and my sin. Because he took those sins upon him. Baptism is made out to be a very, and it truthfully and sincerely is, a very significant step in the walk of the life of a Christian. And if you sit there and go back and you read the early writings of the church fathers, is they tried to bring in the significance of baptism, it became a very spiritual event. As in, I want you to sit there and contemplate and think of a setting, not as such, but a setting as in a pool of water with candles all over the place for light and illumination, not the floodlights and the stage lights, but a very quiet, humble setting. In their writings would sit there and say that the Holy Spirit would float over the water. And as the individual would go into the water and come back out, he would be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And it sounds quite beautiful in all actuality. Please don't misunderstand me. And it sounds quite plausible. But again, I'll refute that with Scripture. As John the Baptist, who was full of the Holy Spirit, preaching to the population, repent, repent, and then baptizing the man who was full of the Holy Spirit, preaching the word, had never ever been baptized himself. In fact, as the Christ came to be baptized, John the Baptist himself said, I can't do this. And that's a paraphrase, please. But you should be baptizing me. And the Christ said, no, this is the way it's going to be. So tell me, how is it that John the Baptist received the Holy Spirit if he had not been baptized? He had it by faith. He had that personal relationship with God. And that's upon when you receive the Holy Spirit. Keith received the Holy Spirit as he sat there and called out to the Lord. That's when he received it. But back to the sermon today. Baptism is not the last step to finish that statement in the walk of a Christian. But unfortunately, it has become the last step in many of a Christian's walk. A young man, a young woman, an old man, an old woman. Forget about the Middle Agers. Or a child even. Will sit there and come forward and proclaim Christ their Lord, Master, and Savior. Call out to Christ and ask the Christ to repent or ask the Christ to forgive him of their sin and to move into their heart. Ask for salvation. And then they will sit there and take that next step of baptism because that's what we practice. That's what we teach. And I'll tell you right now, my granddaughter professes Christ as her Lord and Savior. And the only reason she's not entered that water, and it's not because the heater's not working, because in all actuality, I don't care. I know that sounds cold, doesn't it? But I want to make sure that when she does that, she understands the significance of it. But she's still saved. It doesn't wash her sins away. It's just the next step in the walk of a Christian. It is your public profession to the world to whom it is that you belong. Keith made that profession before us 2 weeks ago. And I was there the week before when he professed Christ and prayed to the Lord and asked him for forgiveness and repented of his sins. But this morning, as he entered that baptistry, he sat there and let you all know who his Lord and Master was, who he had placed his faith in. But faith should not stop at that particular point in the walk of a Christian. But unfortunately, that is what's happening in many a 21st century church. Churches will sit there and preach the word. Churches will sit there and tell the significance, the importance of repentance. And you need Christ. You need that relationship. And they'll preach it till they're blue in the face. And people will sit there and take that step and they'll see that they are a sinner and they'll know that they need to profess Christ. They'll profess Christ and they'll run up. And if we could keep a baptistry full, they'd probably baptize every Sunday. And there are churches that baptize every Sunday. And I am not arguing against that. I think it's awesome. But the problem is that's where it ends. Their walk with Christ ends as soon as they come out of that water, as soon as they get dried off, and as soon as they put their warm clothes back on, Keith. Sorry. But your walk should not stop there. When in all actuality, that's when your walk should sincerely be starting. You have made your public profession to the world. Why is that so significant? Well, Christ has said, if you don't profess me before man, I'm not going to profess you before the Father. Your profession is much more than your baptism. Your profession should be part of your daily life. When people see you, they should not see you. They should see Christ reflecting from you in everything that you say and do. When people see you, they should know there's something different about you. Not the fact that you got hit upside the head one too many times as a child. Not the fact that you can't chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. Not the fact that maybe you can't get 1 + 1 = 2 every time. And somehow it comes out to 5 or 10. No, when they see you, they should see something different about you. And that difference is, you're a Christian. Because you shouldn't be acting like the rest of this world and the rest of this society. You should be acting more like Christ. In fact, that's what the term Christian means. Little Christ, Christ-like. It honestly didn't start off as a term of endearment. It actually started as a term of ridicule. Oh, he's a Christ follower. But that's exactly what your life should be. Meaning this, maybe our vocabulary shouldn't be like that of a drunken sailor. I fail on that one, by the way. It slips out so easy. Or a drunken soldier, or jarhead, or Zoomy or whatever you want to call yourself, whatever service that you were part of. If you want to be a puddle jumper, go for it. They got filthy mouths too. Having a beer doesn't bother me. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell me I can't. But when it sits there now becomes part of my life and I got to have one every time and it now becomes the God of my life, we've got problems. And if you're living that life and allowing it to take hold, you got problems because people aren't seeing Christ in you. If you're acting, talking, walking, smelling like this world, you're not walking as a Christian or a child of God, separated. And if you're not out there working, you're not acting the child of God. Back to this morning's scripture, coming out of the book of James, arguing works and faith. He sits there and politely and bluntly tells us that works without faith are dead. That's a simple thing. We truthfully and sincerely understand that in order for an individual to have Christ or to be classified as being a child of God or to be saved or however it is we want to use in these churchy words, we have to have faith. Believing beyond a shadow of a doubt without any physical empirical proof whatsoever that we are in fact sinners doomed for hell at birth, by the way. We come out sinners. I'm sorry. We do believe that there's a point in time when an individual reaches the age of accountability and they understand what sin sincerely is. But they've already got a ticket punched for hell. And after that time of accountability, and it's different for other people, it's not as old as you really think it is. But after that time, your ticket's punched already. Until you take that step in faith, acknowledging what you are and putting your faith in the Christ, the Son of God, and believing sincerely, knowing that God stepped down from that cross or from his throne and took upon him the flesh of mankind to include your own individual sins on that cross and died in your place. And then was resurrected 3 days later. Then you shall be saved. That's faith. Knowing that it's true. Believing that it's true. Maybe not fully understanding every little minute detail about it. Because if you really have that relationship, it should pop into your mind every once in a while. Why me? Because I know what I really am like. I really don't deserve it. Well, you're right. I know what you're like too. Because I get to stare at you guys over and over. I know what you're like. And you're right. You don't deserve it. And oh, by the way, neither do I. I'm nobody special. I put my pants on the same way you do. I just have to now stable myself so I don't fall. They say it's age, but I don't know. But having that faith, yes, it's so important. But that faith should cause you and lead you to working the fields. Scripture tells us multiple places, the fields are ripe unto harvest, but the workers are few. You open the doors here in another 3 hours, and you enter out into this world. and you're entering a world of lost. You're entering the lost world. How's that? Where the vast majority of the population has never, ever heard the Word of God preached. The few that classify themselves as Christians will come into church two times a year, Christmas and Easter. And then whenever they die. But they'll classify themselves as Christians. Then you've all, those Christians will be there every time the doors open. They got their faith, but where are their works? Their last step that they showed in faith is when they entered into the baptistry and came out. After that, they never ever did another thing for Christ. Or excuse me, never ever did anything for Christ. But you got to sit there and think about it. If the sole purpose in life is for us to sit there and have faith and proclaim it, and that's all there is to it, then why do you think the Lord's letting us sit here? If our ultimate goal is to sit there and be with Him in heaven, why didn't He just take us the minute we come out of the baptistry water? I mean, seriously. Well, there is a reason why you're still here. You're supposed to be walking billboards for Christ. You're supposed to be out there sharing the Word. More importantly, sharing Christ with your actions and deeds. You're supposed to be seeing a need and then taking the love of Christ and applying it to that situation. I mean, James sits there and writes a very pointed statement here. Again, hear these words. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You see, we're supposed to sit there and see those needs, take the faith that Christ we have in Christ and apply it to that situation. Does it mean you're going to sit there and give him a meal 365 days out of the year? If you got the capability, then yes. But maybe you don't. Maybe all you can offer is a snack. Then you do it in the name of Christ and share His love with that individual. And then move on. But to sit there and say, go in peace, and yet do nothing about it, He just sat there and told you it's dead. It's worthless. It's useless. Yeah, we're so good at it, aren't we? Go in peace, my brother. Have a blessed day. Please don't misunderstand me. I walk in, I drive down to the base every day, and I've got one of five or six gate guards that I'll see, and they know me because they'll look at my ID and they'll say, that's Don Roberts. They know I'm going to sit there and tell them, you have a blessed day, man. And most of them will put a smile on their face because most of them, I think, believe they have a relationship with Christ. And to sit there and openly be able to do that, just it's not something you see a lot of in today. But yet we just use those terms more often than not, and they don't mean a darn thing to anybody. He's sitting there telling us we need to sit there and take that faith that we have and use it and apply it to every day in our life. We need to sit there and start actually becoming the billboards that God wants us to be. Our last step in faith should not be the baptism, but it should be in the casket that we go out in. Ooh, that one's going to be close, isn't it? We don't like to talk about that. But that's when our last step in faith should be. When the Lord calls us home. Because that will be the last step that we take on the face of this earth. But if you have that relationship with God, you're already running to greet Him at the door of heaven. Because he sits there and says no word. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Father. Amen. So in fact, we should never ever stop taking those steps in faith. It should impact us in our everyday tasking, our everyday that we walk the face of this earth. It doesn't mean all of you are going to start preaching. Some of you, I look and I go, good. Some of you, I'm going, man, I wish you would say something. It may not be all the glim and glamour. You might be the handyman or the Stokely. I've told you about Mr. Stokely. He always handed out gum to all the kids. I've told you about being a church handyman and having a kid sitting there flushing the toilet two rooms over as you're sitting over a hole seeing a new wax ring and hearing things gurgle underneath your feet. Not a good feeling. You might be, forgive the term, little old lady that's there handing out cookies at Vacation Bible School that child can never ever remember a name of, but can remember the love of God being shown in such a simple act. Your step of faith might be coming into Wonderful Wednesdays and being a grandmother or a grandfather or a great-grandmother and great-grandfather. And I think I can say great-great in some cases. Sharing the love of Christ with kids in this community that don't ever receive Christ, because you don't see them here in this church right now, do you? And I hate to say most of them aren't in a church elsewhere either. But that's the only time that they're going to hear Christ. Your step in faith may actually be helping out with a car show. Or hearing of a need and, yeah, praying for that need. Maybe a lost member that needs to know Christ, praying that the Lord will open up their heart and that they'll actually hear the Lord's knocking. Or praying for our missionaries down in Haiti, who's now yet in turmoil again as the person that we put into place has been deposed yet again. Imagine that. We can't pick our own leaders. What makes you think we pick leaders for somebody else? But our missionaries need the help just as bad. And the families down there need the prayers just as bad. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. That's the key. And I'll show you my faith by my works. If you have faith in Christ, you should have works to back him up. Christ died for you, yes. And I've told you guys over and over, if you were the only one on the face of this earth that would ever step out in faith to accept the Christ, he still would have came and died on the cross for you. Yes, take that salvation personal, because it is a personal gift. But once you receive it, you should be busy sharing it so others can experience it also. That faith that you have should stir you from the deepest parts of your inside to want to share him with others, which is what works are, sharing the love of God. Please don't be found guilty of ever letting baptism be your last step in faith. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the reminder of your word that tells us that faith without works is dead. Lord, we should never, ever want our faith in you to be counted as being dead. We should exercise that faith daily and watch it grow from the grain of a mustard seed, the size of mustard seed, into something large enough for the birds to roost in. We should never, ever take the gift of salvation, and while it was meant for us, we should never, ever just hide it so that we're the only ones that get to see it. We should willingly want to share it with others so that they too can come to know you. Because, Lord, you didn't, well, I know you died for me. You didn't die just for me. You died for all of mankind. And in fact, the reason why I'm still walking the face of this earth is because you want me preaching that very word and sharing it with others so that they too can come to know him. Not just me, but all who know you. Oh, Lord, we thank you so very much for loving us so. I just pray that the church of the 21st century, Lord, would allow their faith to step out in faith so others could see it and ultimately so others can receive that same faith. Oh, Lord, we thank you for loving us so. It's in your son's name we pray these things. Amen.